noon here on WEEI, Jones and Keith. It's Tier Tuesday. It's a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston joins us every Tuesday right at high noon, and he's brought to you by Flex Car. You can save thousands with your flexible car lease at flexcar.com and by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. Good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon.
We are doing tremendous as well. We're feeling like reading into Jaden Daniels last night, his performance. What, if anything, does that have to do with the Patriots and their approach with Drake May?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I wonder, look, Jaden Daniels, we understood, was a much more finished product than Drake May. We saw the season he had for LSU, and we saw Drake May in the second portion of his season finish not that great. They were a 7-4 team in North Carolina, and he didn't play well down the stretch. So we knew that Jaden Daniels was a better player, a more finished product, and more ready to play. To me, it raises the question of, would Jaden Daniels perform like this if he were in New England? Would the Patriots have taken a similar tack? I think had the Patriots, say they beat Pittsburgh, lost to Pittsburgh, lost to Denver, they had the second overall pick and took Jaden Daniels. I still think they might take a similar approach, but I think that Daniels would have pushed it more readily by now than Drake May is capable of doing. I mean, that's just my knee-jerk reaction to how it would, how it impacts the Patriots. And I also would say this, I don't think that Jaden Daniels would enjoy the same level of performance here given the surrounding cast. How's that?
Yeah, so I guess my question would be, what do you think is the biggest difference between the Commanders offense and the Patriots offense? Because I think Terry McLaurin's the best receiver, but both offensive lines are bad. The rest of the skill group is bad, past their prime. To me, what stands out is the offensive coordinators. Like, I would much rather have Cliff Kingsbury working with a young quarterback than I would Alex Van Pelt. But how do you see the differences between the two teams?
Well, that's a great point by you. I think Clifford of Kingsbury's mindset and approach offensively meshes much better with Jaden Daniels than Alex Van Pelt's meshes with Drake Mays. I mean, they're trying to mold May and give him a foundation in the West Coast offense, and he's just not experienced in doing it. If Cliff Kingsbury were here, it would probably be a better fit for May initially, but is it a better fit for the team? I mean, I think that that's the way the league is going. More spread, more shotgun, more let the athlete be an athlete, make his decisions on the run and freelance. So I think that is probably the biggest difference. Certainly, I think McLaurin being a high-level receiver, but your points are good on, you know, the offensive lines being similarly bad, but I think the Patriots right now are worse than imagined because of the injuries and inexperience.
What's your understanding on the leash with Jacoby Brissett? From the outside looking in, we hear Jerod Mayo after the game on Thursday leave the door open and then slam it shut on Friday to go to Drake May. He said the reps wouldn't change at practice. Is Sunday against the Niners a last stand for Jacoby Brissett where he has to hit a certain performance level, or does he have more leash than I believe he does?
I think he has more leash. Until he becomes an impediment to them winning, I think that Jacoby Brissett would be the starter. However, there may also come a point if it's, you know, jailbreak Sunday again and he's getting thrashed where they might give it a mercy subbing and just say, look, he can't get away from this. He can't manage to get away from this kind of a rush. In order to give ourselves a better chance to win, we'll go with Jacoby Brissett. But the next team up after San Fran, of course, is Miami, which has problems of its own. So I would think that most likely we are going to see Brissett for the foreseeable future. And I just don't think he's going to get a benching for performance until he turns it over, gets strip sacked, looks panicked, makes those kinds of plays.
Yeah. I was just curious, you know, you're certainly not alone in the play Brissett for a while stance. And so far the Patriots are also very much of that stance. But they did play Drake May the last series, down 21, but he gets in the game against the Jets, takes a few hits, moves the ball down the field. Is that so? Were you surprised that he even was in the game? If it seems like they're also trying to protect him.
No, I think that my definition of protecting him is protecting him from looking like a boob.
Got it.
And I think that that's what should be the approach. The notion of protecting him from taking a thrashing, I just can't subscribe to. They're all NFL players. They're all going to get hit. If he gets hit, he gets hit. If he gets hurt, that's part of the deal. Unfortunately, you don't want him to. You want him to, when you send him on the field, say, you know, be cautious. We're down 21. It's very little time left. You don't have a lot of protection. You know, discretion is a better part of valor here. So I think that would be the way to approach it. But I think that I strongly believe that their mindset is it's protecting him from being in a situation where he makes horrible plays and doesn't know what to do.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. You thought he made himself look like a bit of a boob. I watched you on NBC Sports Boston after the game on Thursday, Tom. You didn't like the whole waiting for Aaron Rodgers and referring to him as the GOAT. You didn't love that, right?
Yeah, I wasn't inflamed by it. I understand his mindset. Hey, you know, primetime game, the game's over, I'm going to go say hi to some friends. It was just an ear-to-ear grin walking across the field after a humiliating loss. And just being cognizant of the fact for the team entirely, not just Drake May, you don't want to become accepting of a humiliating loss on national television to the point where you just shrug it off and it's water off a duck's back. He doesn't have to go flipping buffet tables, punching his locker, sitting there on the bench in performative sadness. But I think there's in observing that in real time, and he's smiling and going to say hi to a friend and then waiting for Rodgers and ear to ear, he was just on the field at the end of a humiliating loss. And again, he's 21, have a day. I just think the team in general needs to be cognizant and not accepting of, and I think most of the players would not be, of that kind of performance. A little more subdued. Am I wrong?
I just don't think he probably wants it getting out around here that he thinks Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT.
Yeah, I didn't love that either.
I just think maybe keep that to yourself. And even if you love him and he's, you know, the guy you modeled your game after or whatever, fine. But I don't know if that's the best thing to be doing
These guys goat everybody these days.
That's true. There are several goats, which is very confusing. It's not how it should be.
It's a herd.
Were you as surprised as I was that that Alex Van Pelt basically changed the offense and decided to feed Pop Douglas after he was kind of complaining about things in the locker room and going away from what had been a very successful running game against the team in the Jets that had been giving up big chunks of yards on the ground?
No, and I think the two things were certainly not interlinked. I mean, you went and talked to a fairly benign player in terms of his way of expressing himself. And he said, you're frustrated? Yeah, I'm frustrated, sure. He wasn't losing his mind about it. He's the best option one-on-one on the team. It was malpractice to not get him the ball in the first two games. I'm glad that they did what they did. They said that they were going to do what they did repeatedly. So I don't think it had anything to do with what Pop Douglas said on his locker, that they tried to get him the ball. And I had no problem with trying to get him the ball. I mean, you can, at some point, teams are going to say, okay, great, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson, we're going to stop that. What else you got? So I don't blame them for trying to throw the ball, period. I just think it was a bad spot for them with the amount of inexperience on the offensive line, and the game just got away from them.
It's time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. What's your Flex of the Game, Tom?
My Flex of the Game, looking back, the Patriots have to flex their defensive muscle a little bit better than they did on the second play of the Jets' first drive of the game and the second play of the second half. 2nd and 5 for the Jets. Their first drive of the game, Anthony Jennings loses contain. That allows Aaron Rodgers to scurry around the end, pick up a very easy first down. 2nd play of the 2nd half, 2nd and 11. Again, Aaron Rodgers escapes the pocket, scurries downfield, picks up yards. Gerard Mayo said, look, we have to keep him in the pocket. I don't care how old Aaron Rodgers is. If the Patriots can't play disciplined on defense, Kyle Duggar the week before, this loss of contain and tackling this week. Those are the things the Patriots really need to flex up on.
Christian Gonzalez, okay. Christian Gonzalez, I think, has been pretty good this year, and yet the advanced PFF stats would suggest he is one of the worst cornerbacks through 3 weeks. Where do you come down on Gonzalez's first three games?
I think it's hard for him. I think he's been good, fine, better than average. He's a better than average corner. He's had his plays where they've, turned him inside out a little bit. I think, the Garrett Wilson touchdown just inside the pylon, I don't blame him for trying to go for the pick on that. They needed a play. They're at the one. They're probably going to score anyway. I liked his aggressiveness on that. I'm a Christian Gonzalez fan. I stand Christian Gonzalez.
Okay, that's a big flex by Tommy Curran there at the end. Christian Gonzalez, friend of the show. Tommy Curran every Tuesday here at High Noon on a Tom E. Tuesday. You can check him out all over NBC Sports Boston. Quick Slants tonight. WEEI Afternoons on Thursday at 3:30. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
You got it. We'll have Scar on Quick Slants tonight, too, so maybe we can get some offensive line diagnosis from him.
Ooh, nice. And then you can pass it along to the team. Nice.
Yeah, seriously.
I like that. You can be the middleman. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI on a Tom E. Tuesday. It's also a Tier Tuesday, and chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180, a once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at Awaken180weightloss.com. That's for Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We have a Keefe for Madness on the way at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. We'll get back to our Monday night takeaways. Jaden Daniels, pretty good. Josh Allen, one of the many comps for Drake May. Excellent last night. So when are the Patriots going to get Drake May out there?
This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin. Unbelievable on third down and 7. A great throw. Great call.
I thought you couldn't play rookie quarterbacks. I thought that was...
So they all suck.
Foolish to do, and they're all bad, and that's not the way to build a team or develop a young quarterback. And how can you possibly do that if they have nothing around them?
I think Jaden Daniels, and I don't throw this word around often, I think he played a perfect game last night.
Ooh.
He had two incomplete passes.
He had that really bad miss to Terry McLaurin in the first half, and that was it.
Right. His quarterback rating, Keith, was not
QB rating?
Perfect.
What?
Of course, a perfect QB rating is like 158 point something.
0.3.
Thank you.
Yep.
141.7.
Oh, my bad. It wasn't perfect.
Close.
Damn near perfect.
Shouting distance of
he
perfect.
He out-dueled Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Burrow had good numbers too, but he had the better rating. He also ran in a score. But yeah, he was great, and he was great when he needed to be. It wasn't just that built up a lead and then watched the Bengals come all the way back. Fourth quarter, game on the line, he's still moving the ball, and it wasn't just little checkdowns or it wasn't just like design QB runs. Like, he was throwing the ball downfield accurately, and he looked great. And so that's the number two pick in the draft, and in his third game, looking really good, improving as he's playing. Same thing with Bo Nix. Now,
it's
Bo
weird.
Nix,
that's
Bo
a Nix, strange thing.
My guy started at a lower level, right? Games 1 and 2, he had some bad interceptions.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of room for improvement with him.
There was, but he got there.
Yeah, he did.
Right? Like his third game, he beats the Tampa Bay Bucs, who are a pretty good team, and he looked good doing it.
Yeah.
He had some good scampers. He was good.
Excellent scampering around.
Yeah.
And so I would say this. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We just talked to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also view it on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We've been talking a lot about our Monday night takeaways. And Jaden Daniels, of course. What I would say is you have a snapshot of Jacoby Brissett. That's not going to get better. That's what it is. That's who he is. That's who he's been. That's who he'll continue to be.
It might get worse.
There's a chance it gets worse.
Because he hasn't turned it over yet.
That's true.
So that's been like the one thing you've been able to prop up is like he's not turning it over.
Fair.
You can't go through a whole season without turning it over.
It's not getting better.
Might
it
get
could
worse.
Get worse.
Right. Think of that.
These young quarterbacks, it's not guaranteed they're going to get better.
No.
But there should be growth. And I'll reiterate, it may not be linear. Jaden Daniels has had a really good week. Maybe he'll take a step back next week before continuing to grow. But if you do this with Drake May, it's going to continue to grow if he can play. Looks like Jaden Daniels can play. Jury out on Bo Nix. Jury out, oddly enough, on Caleb Williams. Your wife was onto something there.
She sniffed that out. We watched one episode of Hard Knocks. She's like, he's going to stink.
He's not going to make it.
She might be right.
But like, you're already seeing it with Jaden Daniels. And you just hit on it, Keith. It's not just the numbers at the end of the day, which are fantastic. 21 out of 23, two touchdowns, another one on the ground. It's that when Joe Burrow pushed him, he answered back with a 12-play, 70-yard drive that ate up 7.5 minutes. Oh, well, it must have been all runs, right? He did it all with his legs.
Nope.
Third and two, short pass to Terry McLaurin to extend the drive with about 7 minutes left. Third and 12, he hit Dyami Brown for 8 yards and then converted on fourth and four, Zach Ertz for 9 yards over the middle of the field. That was 4.5 minutes left. You give Burrow the ball back with all that time. Never mind adding another score. The Terry McLaurin play was a 3rd and 7. So that was a 3rd down, and he hucked it up. He had a bomb to Terry McLaurin earlier in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks dynamic with his legs. I just think, again, if you're watching him, he's rolling out, throwing across his body, whipping it around, laser throws, finding the right guy, finding different guys. That's a bad offensive line in Washington. It's a bad skill group in Washington. McLaurin's better than anyone the Pats have. We'll say it for the millionth time today. But it's a bad group overall.
It's kind of it, though.
The corpse of Zach Ertz and the corpse of Eckler, who left the game last night with a concussion. Right. Not even going to have him. He didn't have him at the end of the game.
And Brian Robinson's not as good as Ramondre Stevenson.
No, there's a zombie walking around out there. It's not a good group. And they're 2-1. He's not just looking good individually. They look better because they played Jaden Daniels. So, to me, Jacoby Brissett should have a short leash. I was disheartened to hear that from Tom Curran, that he doesn't think it's a short leash for Brissett. Curran's plugged in. He knows. I'll disagree with him on what the Patriots should do, but I'll defer to him on what his belief is within that building. He doesn't think Jacoby Brissett is on notice. He should be for his own play, for the play of the team. And I think, whether this is fair or not, Jaden Daniels' performance, you know the Crafts are catching wind of it.
Yeah.
You know they see, well, wait a minute, that bum-ass Washington organization plugged their quarterback in, and they're 2-1 and look like they have something, and there's excitement among the fan base, and maybe they have a marketable young player. You know the Crafts see that. And that may be the wrong decision to go to Drake May, but I don't care. If that shoves them and forces them to go to Drake May, good. They should go to Drake May because you could be Washington if you started there a few weeks ago.
Well, it's easy to have a plan at the beginning of the season and have an idea of when you're going to play the quarterback and all this other stuff, but when you play it out week to week and you're living and dying with the loss each week, right? It's one thing to say, all right, what do you do when you're 1-4? But when you're living those losses, and when you just played the Jets, even if you chalk that up to a loss, do you think it was going to be 24-3?
No.
You couldn't move the ball, and it was going to be that like non-competitive of a game?
And that score doesn't even tell the story.
It
was way worse than that.
So, right, it's so much worse. So now you go to San Francisco, like, oh, that's going to be tough. What if it's similar? What if it's 31-7, and it's just a beatdown again? How do you then spin it to, and forget about like us, or even the fan base, just be like to go to the guys in the locker room and be like, hey, I know we have the number 3 pick in the draft here. He's been getting a lot of practice reps and has a much, much, much higher ceiling. But we're just going to keep trotting out Jacoby Brissett. Like, what does that say to Ramondre Stevenson and Pop Douglas and Hunter Henry, whoever is playing offensive line, like David Andrews? Like, at that point, I think you have to make a change. Because I think we know the ceiling is higher with May, and I always assumed the floor was higher with Brissett. I think that's probably wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think so. Like, we've seen it's one touchdown pass in 3 weeks.
Well, Jaden Daniels must be making all kinds of mistakes when he's out there, right?
I don't think so.
Two straight games. They've gone 17 possessions with a score or a kneel down. 17 consecutive possessions. On Monday night, Keefe, they had 8 possessions.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns, 1 field goal, a kneel down at the end of each half.
Yeah.
Last week against the Giants, 8 possessions, 7 field goals, so that masks some of their overall success. But they were moving the football all day. They're not turning it over. 7 field goals and a kneel down. If they're committing penalties, they're still converting first downs. They're not turning it over. They're not punting with a rookie quarterback. So it can be done. That's not a good team. That's a bad organization.
No.
Bad skill players. Bad defense. Bad coach. Defensive coach.
Yeah, yeah.
All the same things the Patriots have. Ish. It's comparable, if not apples to apples, and not a perfect analogy. That could be you.
So that kind of drives me nuts. And I think it's revisionist history on two parts. Like, now all of a sudden after last night, it's like, well, the Commanders are actually like pretty good. It's like, no, they're not.
No, they're not.
Like, last year was the same thing. It was like, well, the Texans actually built it pretty well.
No, they didn't.
CJ Stroud was really good. Nobody liked Tank Dell and Nico Collins until C.J. Stroud started spinning the ball around down there, right? Nobody liked anybody outside of Terry McLaurin or nobody. People didn't even really want to give Cliff Kingsbury that much credit when they hired him. And now Jaden Daniels looks really, really good through just 3 weeks. Now, guess what? It's a rookie year. He next week might suck. The week after that might be great again. Like, there's going to be ups and downs with any young quarterback, any young player, right? Like, you're going to have really good weeks, maybe not so great weeks. But I still think if you're trying to get the Patriots to be the best they can for 2025, like, if you're being realistic and you're saying, all right, how can this team compete in 2025? They obviously need to add a lot of talent. They need to hit on draft picks. They need to spend money in free agency. They need to maybe even swing a trade. But do you feel better about Drake May having never started a game or have started 5 games or starting this Sunday through the rest of the season? Now, that is something that not everybody's going to agree on, and that's fine. But for you and I, you and me are saying, play the guy now. Let him take his lumps.
We were saying play him 3 weeks ago.
Well, yes, I wanted to start week one as well. But there's going to be highs and lows. But are you in a better spot to start next year? I think yes.
Me too.
I just don't get how Jaden Daniels survived the game last night, Keith. The barbaric sport of football.
Oh,
I don't get. He wasn't in bubble wrap that I saw.
No. And it's an NFL defense.
I mean,
right?
It was
They're
an
fast.
NFL defense on the same
physical
defense the Patriots played week one.
They can play two high safeties.
So you couldn't possibly have played Drake May against that fearsome defense. You couldn't have done that. I just don't get how Jaden Daniels survived with all the memes out there and nanas who don't want to see him playing.
I know.
I'm surprised he was able to survive. And I'm with you. It is revisionist history to say that Washington has a good roster or a good – it's a defensive
nobody
coach.
Nobody had them in the playoffs. And I don't think they're going to make the playoffs anyway. But, like, nobody had them in the playoffs.
Frisky.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the tiers, they are a frisky team.
Frisky.
That's for sure.
Frisky could sneak in.
They could.
Same tier as 3-0 Pittsburgh.
That's
same
true.
Tier as
different
3-0 conference. Seattle.
Yeah.
Different conference. That's true.
Yep.
So you can jump in on all this. 617-779-7937. Oh, by the way, not to mention – he gets comped to Josh Allen all the time, and Josh Allen was unreal last night.
Oh, boy.
So did Buffalo have to survive some growing pains with Josh Allen his rookie year? Yep. Did Josh Allen get hurt his rookie year? Yep. Is he worse off for any of that? Are the Bills worse off for any of that? And again, I love the idea that, like, oh, the Bills were a playoff team before they got Josh Allen. Like, that was some good operation.
No, they were not.
It's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
It's Buffalo. And they stuck with their young kid, who was a piece of clay.
They started Nathan
they
Peterman for a week. That's how good they were. They had Nathan Peterman as their starter.
1 week they did, and then they said, we can't do this anymore. No. Bye-bye.
Right.
And I'm sorry, Jacoby Brissett's a lot closer to Nathan Peterman than he is some of these other quarterbacks. 617-779-7937. Let's get to your feedback here. Sorja is in Mansfield. Go ahead, Sorja.
Jones, Keith, how are we today?
Good. Very good.
First off, I saw that you had some angry texts. Do not listen to the haters. This is a 9-4 show and rising. But with the greatest respect to Tommy Curran, I just don't understand what we're doing. Because with Tommy Curran's logic, you would be starting Mariota with the Commanders, right? And I guess we can all admit now that maybe starting Drake one May week one was a great idea. But this whole O-line, he's going to get crushed. Put the kid in, like, enough is enough. Rip the Band-Aid off. This is NFL football. This is not flag football. And the last quick point I want to make is that I think Gerard Mayo, AVP, and Elliot Wolf are on three different pages, and everyone is just vying for a job because they know two of those three people will not be here in 3 years.
Okay, so it's at least two different pages. It could be Wolf and Van Pelt on the same page and Mayo on a different one, but I agree. There's pushing and pulling within the organization.
Well, it is very strange. I mean, Elliot Wolf didn't hire Gerard Mayo, and Gerard Mayo didn't hire Alex Van Pelt.
Nope.
Whereas before, it was Bill Belichick had two of those roles, and then he handpicked Josh McDaniels for, like, most of the successful seasons.
Yeah.
Charlie
Weiss
or whatever. Like,
mostly brought in his kids or his kids' friends.
Now, it kind of fell apart with the Matt Patricia.
Kids
no,
of
I'm
his
saying
friends.
Offense.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
saying, like, for that sort of, like, the triumphant right now of Wolf, Mayo, and Van Pelt, for many, many years, that was just Belichick and McDaniels, or just Belichick and O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have those three guys. And I would agree with Sorja. I don't think they're all on the same page.
No, me either. And I think Mayo wants to do what we're saying. I think Mayo wants to play Drake May. Do you have any remorse about getting a consolation prize, if you will, in Drake May and not Jaden Daniels? Patriots could have tanked, could have had the number two pick, could have had Jaden Daniels. Any remorse there? Like, for instance, text line is saying 37937. You guys are obviously trolling. Are we?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
On what part?
But remember, Washington could have taken Drake May if they wanted to and wanting nothing to do with him. So is there
I don't know if they want nothing to do with him. They wanted Jaden Daniels more, and I think that was pretty split. We did a lot of draft talk leading up to it.
Who did you like in draft season more? I like Drake May more.
I liked Daniels more.
Okay.
But I didn't love either guy.
No, you were like a Harrison Jr. guy.
I liked Marvin Harrison Jr. a lot. I thought Caleb Williams was going to be the best of them, and so far he has not been. And then I liked Bo Nix, but not at 12, not at 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, I liked Bo Nix later. But anyway, and at the time, I remember being pissed when Chad Ryland decided to make one kick, right? Like, that was the time to tank. We're not tanking in September, but when the team sucked all year.
Yeah, and then there Christmas was Eve or whatever that game was, that's the time to tank. Yeah,
now's the time to lay down and die and get the highest pick possible, and then you get that choice. And it'll be easy to say, right, like, you know, remember Danny Ainge? Oh, if we had the number one pick, we would have taken Durant over Odin. It's like, would you? I mean, maybe you would have.
Maybe, but it's easy to say after that. Yeah.
So, like, Jaden Daniels plays really well last night. And like, oh, they wanted Daniels all the time. Well, they didn't really have that choice. This isn't taking Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud. Like, that is a fireable offense. Like, that is a huge miss. Taking Drake May or getting him at 3, I don't know. I think it was pretty split, don't you? Like, for all the Daniel Jeremiah's and all those guys around the world, wasn't it 50-50 who should go 2?
Close to it, but I would say it was probably Daniels slightly more Daniels.
Right,
yeah.
So 60-40, even. Yeah. Like, it wasn't a runaway. That was clearly the tier, right? It was like these three guys, then Penix, Nix, and McCarthy are going to get, like, overdrafted. That was sort of the consensus. Now, those guys might all be great or they might all suck. I don't know. But I don't think anybody thought going into the college season, even going into the draft process, that those guys were going to go 8, 10, 12 or whatever they did. That's kind of high.
Yeah.
But like 1, 2, 3, that wasn't a shock.
No, I don't think that was a shock at all. I'll just say this. Washington could have kept Brissett. They could have started a veteran and eased in Jaden Daniels, who admittedly is older than Drake May. I got it. He was in college longer. Got it.
Okay.
It's not perfect, but he's a rookie. They went all in on him. And I don't know. If you're Washington, do you think they'd be better off drafting Joe Alt, who, by the way, is hurt, or Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers? Would they be in a better spot? Or are they in a better spot singularly because the quarterback came in and elevated them through 3 weeks?
Probably that thing.
I mean, let's see where they finished. Maybe they're a 6-win team. You know, maybe they're an 8 or a 9-win team. I don't know where they're going to finish. They look frisky, I'll tell you that.
Kind of frisky right now.
And you can't get them to punt or turn it over. And that changed
pretty good.
Like that. You know what they did all the time last year?
What's that?
And turn it over with Sam Howell.
That's right.
And Jacoby Brissett sitting there watching Sam Howell with a clipboard. And the Patriots are refusing to do that, which is maddening. And you could see it. You could see right away one quarterback, the right quarterback, can change everything.
And also, when people say
it's a long shot, Keith, it's a long shot.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you hit, that's how quickly it can change. It changed with C.J. Stroud. It might be changing again with Jaden Daniels in Washington. The Patriots could be that if they weren't afraid of their own shadow.
Well, and I also think people that say, well, look at all the great quarterbacks that sat. I think you can pretty much say across the board, great quarterbacks didn't sit behind
on
bad quarterbacks.
Correct.
Bad teams, bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
They
too.
Didn't watch bad quarterbacks.
No.
They watched Brett Favre. They watched Aaron Rodgers. They watched Drew Bledsoe. They watched Alex Smith. Like, that's different. The other guys get kind of thrown in there, and they sink or swim, because the reality is every draft, every position, every sport, there are busts in the top 10. We're going to remember the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There's more pressure put on them, their household names. If you're a defensive end or a left tackle or a corner and you suck after your first 2 or 3 years, you get forgotten about. Unless it's like your team, right? But like around the league,
yeah,
you kind of forget about those guys. But the quarterbacks stand out because everybody knows who they are. They were probably a Heisman winner or a Heisman finalist or something like that. Everybody thinks like, oh, this is the franchise. But there's busts all over the place. It's not the reason to not play them, though.
Well, and look at some of the young quarterbacks who have come in and turned their organization around almost overnight. Joe Burrow was in the Super Bowl by year 2.
Yep.
That's the Bengals, for God's sakes.
The Bengals were in the Super Bowl because of their number one pick quarterback.
The Bengals.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
The Bills, I know they were a playoff team the year before Josh Allen got there, but they were also, you know,
a
forgettable joke franchise for most of the decade before that. The Bills turned around almost overnight, playoff team by year 2. Mm-hmm. The Houston Texans. We thought they were going to be the worst team in football last year.
Right.
Playoff team, won a round in year 1 with C.J. Stroud. The Commanders, Jaden Daniels. These are guys who all played, not week 1 in Josh Allen's case, but year 1 right away.
You know who also got to the playoffs?
Listen to those organizations. Listen to them.
I'll give you another one, and I know they're better now, but they were, what, a couple years removed from going 0-16, and Matt Stafford got the Lions to the playoffs.
Sure. Now, that's going back a little bit longer.
Far? I mean, but that's still the 2000s, 2010s, or whatever that was.
And he's still playing, at least.
He's playing.
But I'm just saying.
Recently. Yeah,
Allen.
Okay. But, I mean,
Burrow,
the Lions are a loser franchise.
They definitely are.
These loser franchises.
They definitely are. But Allen, Burrow, Stroud, now Jaden Daniels. It's early to put him on the list, but that could be happening right in front of your eyes.
What about Baker Mayfield? With the Browns.
Another trash organization.
So he gets bounced around, and people now are using him for a different example of, like, oh, he can be broken, et cetera, et cetera. But the Browns.
Playoffs year two.
The playoffs in 2002. They didn't make it again until 2020. Yeah. He beat the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He was the number one pick. They threw him in. He played. Now, he didn't make the playoffs year one, but just, you know, was it year three? He made the playoffs with the Browns. So even these teams that everybody looks at as like, oh, they just break quarterbacks, and they have that long list of quarterbacks that they drafted, and that sucked. Well, they finally got one that was good. They played them. Now, they made a huge mistake by getting rid of them and bringing in Deshaun Watson, but now they're living in that mess. But at the time, that was a guy that actually worked.
Okay. So, look, are you still sitting there? You want to go slow with Drake May? You can't play Drake May? And how do you say that with a straight face after watching Jaden Daniels last night? I'm curious to hear it. Tommy Curran tried earlier this hour. If you missed any of that, it's on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. It's also on the Odyssey app. We'll get back to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Grab bag comes your way 40 minutes from now. We're going to check in with Terp from Celtics Media Day, which I hope is wrapping up over at the Auerbach Center. And on the way next, it's a Tuesday. It's 1245, which means it's time for Kiefer Madness.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kiefer?
Where is he?
Where's Kiefer?
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
That's a sexual attraction to machines or vehicles.
A man was captured on video using a sword to roast meat in a shopping cart.
We don't need to see the snake.
Okay, rock and roll, fight.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, this story came out the other night, but I think it would be crazy for us not to discuss it. There's a lot of creature features within Kiefer Madness. We normally do stories that take place in Florida. A lot of Florida.
Yeah, well, there's
Kentucky.
There's so much wildlife, and also some interesting characters down there.
But let's just stay here in the great state of Massachusetts. That's right, Jones. You probably heard about the rodeo bulls that were all over North Attleboro. So let's dive in with this.
Bulls on the loose. Take a look at this video from North Attleboro. Those bulls escaping from a rodeo at the Emerald Square Mall.
Now, police say most of them have been corralled safely. This is the moment they were herded into a nearby backyard. Take a look right there.
What would you do if all of a sudden you looked in your backyard and you saw several bulls?
I'd stay in the house.
Stay in the house. Smart.
No reason to go out there.
Would you just like close the blinds or would you call someone?
Oh.
Like a bull wrangler?
Yeah, bull wrangler.
So you wouldn't try to ride them or tame them?
No, I don't know any matadors.
Tame them?
Matador them. Yeah, no, I guess taming's more horses, Nick. You're right. It's probably more stallions.
Yeah, look at this guy.
So if you're watching on Twitch, you can see some of the videos. Like, easy, big fella. I think that's the stand. No, that was just charging you.
Is he wearing red?
That guy's wearing red. You got to pop that shirt off, sir.
Yeah, you got to go.
He's wearing a red shirt. You got to lose that shirt. He's charging him.
Maybe he's got a few problem areas he's not real proud of. He didn't want to pull the shirt off.
We're all like that. Yeah. But it doesn't mean you can't mix in like a black shirt or a white shirt. They see red and they go after it. That is one thing you could say about bulls.
You have a red shirt there underneath the pullover.
But if a bull came over me, zipping it right
up. Yeah, close that up.
Yep.
Lock that up. You don't want that.
Leave me alone. Don't go after me. But yeah, there's a big problem here in North Attleboro.
Authorities say one of those bulls is still on the loose. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Sean Chiavot.
And I'm Jennifer Pignatti. Our Emily Maha.
I don't know who any of these people are. This is Channel 5.
You know what? I'm not the biggest local news.
There's some turnover, I think.
Yeah. Is that what's going on?
I think there's turnover. Normally, there's like the same five people. Like growing up, remember, it's like the same people. But now it's
Sean Chiavot.
And I'm Jennifer Pignatti. Our Emily.
Anybody have any clue who these people are?
I got to watch more Channel 5, I guess. That's on us. That's on me. Yeah,
They're probably saying the same thing about Jones and Keefe. Like, I don't know.
Like, wait,
I don't know this show.
Another lineup change?
Maybe it's the same thing with them.
John Chiavot.
And I'm Jennifer Pignatti. Or Emily Ma.
I'll take your word for it.
is live. Wild, that search is still underway. Emily, what a wild scene it was.
So they're safe inside the studio. Now yeah. they're sending this lady out there. They're like, you got to go out there where there might be bulls running around.
No
at any
red.
Point.
No red.
No.
Just go out there. You're in the field. Yep. What am I doing again? Well, there's bulls just running wild.
Report on the missing bulls that are flying around the town.
The what now?
Just do the story. You're out there. You're on the field.
You're good. Just go out there with the camera guy.
Just be happy it's not a snowstorm. Yeah. Get out there.
The camera guy, you know, not to paint with a broad brush, but he's probably a larger man. All you can do is outrun him, and you're good.
Yeah.
Sean, Jen, absolutely crazy out here. We were watching as ranch hands, police volunteers.
Ranch hands?
Yeah, that's who you call, Jones.
Where do you got to go to?
Call 1-800-RANCH-HANDS.
No, but like, you got to go. But you got to go out of state. There's not ranch hands in Massachusetts.
Oh, I bet there is.
No, there's not.
There's some farms
even
in Massachusetts.
Even in Western, there's no ranch hands.
There's ranch hands. You can't have a farm without ranch hands. I bet there's a couple ranch hands you could call. They clearly got them. You think they went over state lines?
Yeah, great episode of Seinfeld, ranch hands.
I had the fried ranch.
I think you had to owe me, too.
Not great.
Deep fried ranch. Yeah, no, you had to at least go to your New Hampshire, your Vermont, your Maine.
Maine. Yeah, no doubt.
It feels like there's a lot of ranch hands
out here.
In Maine.
We were watching as ranch hands, police volunteers all work together to...
Volunteers? I can see the ranch hands and the police getting involved. Imagine being like, I'll help you with the bulls.
Yeah, the guy in the red sweatshirt. Was
guy was a volunteer.
He was.
Yeah, I got this.
He's no longer with us. So this is dedicated to his memory.
Corral some of those bulls in this backyard here behind me. The homeowner here telling me he could not believe his eyes when he saw those bulls come running down his street. Take a look at this video. These are the moments those bulls were corralled in this Attleboro backyard about a 10-minute drive from where they escaped.
So they were on the move. 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
And they were just hauling ass all in North Attleboro.
Well, the eight initially escaped. You saw the initial video.
Yes.
They just, like, broke out.
Yeah,
which,
busted out.
There's rodeos at the Emerald Square Mall. I feel like we're burying the lead here.
That's a good point. And not to get preachy. Yeah. I try not to be preachy.
Okay.
I can't stand rodeos. I can't stand...
I've never been to one.
You don't need to. You've seen them on TV.
Yeah.
Like, hey... you guys into torturing animals? Like, we're going to do that. We're going to get them out here. They used to kill them. Now they just, like, try to anger them, and then they have the clowns running around.
Are you confusing a bullfight with a rodeo?
It's all the same crap, Jones. You think these guys want to be in there?
You think
the bulls want to be in there?
They kill them in rodeos, and they kill them in bullfights?
They used to kill them in bullfights. I think they mess them up in this.
Well, yeah, I don't think the bull likes
it. They're, like, provoking them.
Yeah.
And then they're, like, go crazy, and then they run away from them. They're, like, I don't think they're treated well is what I'm saying.
No, I don't think it's the
hence
favorite thing.
Hence them breaking out of there and just taking off to the city of North Attleboro.
Emerald Square Mall has rodeos. I was unaware of that.
Then they stab him in the heart. You never seen these things?
I was at a bullfight. Yeah. I went to a bullfight.
You went to a bullfight?
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I got him!
Did they kill the bull?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
Did the bull kill? Did they? Were in high school. Was this sanctioned?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I went to a...
You ended up kind of feeling bad for the horse.
Went to Spain. It was a...
You get there.
It was a trip. We went to a bullfight. I mean,
that's
a bull die?
Dude.
Maybe a bull died.
I bet the bull died.
A bull might have died.
Yeah, but they tortured him first.
Yeah.
Then they killed him.
Yeah, I had him bleed out a little bit first.
Make a real show out of
they
it.
Got him.
I can't stand that stuff. It's not for me.
You're being a real ugly American about this,
I know,
Keith.
I am.
That's what
am.
You are.
I get it.
And in this video, cell phone showing the rodeo outside the Emerald Square Mall where officials say eight.
Shell phone showing is what she said. Listen, we've all been there.
Yeah. Cell phone showing the rodeo outside the Emerald Square.
It's like looking over her shoulder for the bull.
I don't blame her,
Shell phone,
They're like, we don't know where this bull is, so just do the report quickly. They were spotted here recently.
I'm sorry, shell phone.
Where officials say eight bulls got loose. You can see them running through tables and chairs before hopping.
The table match. The table sliders and chairs match. It was a TLC. It's
Spanish,
a hardcore match.
The Spanish broadcasting team.
Yeah, the bulls. Running of the bulls. Did you ever do the running of the bulls in Pamploma? Did you
would
ever
I?
There? Yeah.
No,
you run the streets with the bulls?
Would I? Sure. I think I could out.
I wouldn't.
I think I could outrun those bulls.
Nah, you couldn't.
I could outrun somebody else who's trying to outrun the bulls. I wouldn't.
You think the bulls feel bad for the humans that they hit?
A little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, they're a little bit like, this guy's slow.
Ralph, we got another
one. This guy stinks.
Ralph.
Really gored him good there. Really gored him.
Hey, Bob, you take it easy on that guy?
Fence and taking off. Over the next few hours, the bulls ran through town, eventually turning on Prescott Street and running right up to Chris Mooney's home.
She shook. And I don't blame her, but she's clearly shook.
There's a bull on the loose.
There's a bull out here.
As soon as I stepped out when I looked over there, and I was like, those aren't horses. Those are literally bulls.
Those aren't horses.
Those are literally bulls.
Like, give me that guy again.
I love how he's like, what if they were horses? You were like, oh, just a bunch of horses in the backyard. Like, that's normal. Like, ah, guys, those are just horses.
There's some horses out
there. As soon as I stepped out when I looked over there, and I was like, those aren't horses. Those are literally bulls.
Man, that's a man who knows. It's a man who knows his farm life.
Those are literally bulls.
And, oh, my God.
And, oh, my God. And, oh, my God. He added, oh, my God.
So I got all my dogs from outside.
Good move.
How many dogs do you have?
Well, good question, Keith. All my dogs.
So I obviously have 75 dogs here on the property, and I made sure they were away and safe inside the house.
Yeah.
So I got all my dogs from outside. Brought them inside real quick.
101 Dalmatians.
I, of course, breed dogs illegally. Don't tell anybody. I have tons of puppies out here selling them.
The kids are inside.
Are you guys here for the puppy mill? I'm sorry. You guys, is this an inside?
You guys here for the bulls. Obviously, the bulls.
You guys here for the dog fights?
Yeah, the dog fights. Yeah, exactly.
Finally, we've been looking to televise this for years and years. Channel 5 finally looking to air our dog fights.
Had to get all the pit bulls inside, the winners and the losers. Had to get them all inside. Oh, you can see, if you're watching on Twitch now, there's a photo of me as a ranch hand.
That's Cowboy Keith.
That's Cowboy Keith.
Not to be confused with Cash Out Keith.
So I got all my dogs from outside. Yeah. I'm inside real quick.
All my dogs.
All my dogs. I think I was... Might have been a DMX song.
That could have been.
It might have been.
The kids are inside, safety first, and that was it. Everybody else just started coming as much people as you can.
What?
I like how you physical
just
proof.
There's just dogs.
Yeah, dogs barking like crazy. It's like, we're definitely not here. We're here for the bulls.
Ranch hands carried out metal fences to corral the bulls. You could hear clapping and cheering as nearly all of the escaped bulls were safely taken into a trailer. Now, the North Attleboro Fire Department says 7 of the 8 bulls have been corralled safely. We saw them taken off in that trailer. That 8th bull remains on the loose tonight. I have reached out to organizers of that rodeo that was held at the Emerald Square Mall to find out how this happened, but haven't heard back from them tonight.
All right.
Now, there's an update to the story. BJ Armstrong! There's an update to the story. The 8th bull has been recovered. They got the bull.
Oh, I found him.
Recovered, yeah.
Yeah.
From Central Arkansas, Scotty Pippen!
They were like an 8-man rotation.
They were good, yeah.
They didn't go much deeper than 8.
Luke Longley!
From down under. Tony Kukoc.
Oh, Tony Kukoc was good. Phil Jackson gave him the last shot. Scottie Pippen had a sad about
Pippen,
it. Wouldn't
Pippen
go in the game.
Did not like that. That's
no,
true.
No,
those aren't horses. Those are literally bulls. And oh my God.
And Ron Harper. Literally bulls. Horace Grant.
Man, Ho Grant.
A good team.
Nice player.
They had two three-peats.
Yep.
Two three-peats.
I went to the Dickie Simpkins basketball camp.
Did you really?
Yes.
He's got a few rings.
He showed them off, too. It wasn't much else for him to talk about in that basketball camp.
Guys, I played with Jordan, so I know what it takes. Like, you didn't really play much, Dickie Simpkins.
I watched all those playoff games. I did not. Dickie Simpkins, I did not see you out there much.
Will Purdue played more than you. Let's calm down a little bit, Dickie Simpkins.
Yeah, you were no Bill Cartwright. You were
no
Will
Purdue. No Randy Brown.
Randy Brown.
Randy Brown would come off the bench a
little
bit.
Don't even think about being Ho Grant.
No, God, that's not you.
No.
Who is Bill Wennington?
Was that who I was thinking of? Bill Wennington, not Bill Cartwright. I'm sorry.
Bill Wennington.
Bill Cartwright,
no, Cartwright I think, was on the team, though.
Yeah.
One of those teams.
But it might have been.
Robert Parrish was on one of those teams.
Oh, yeah. Lake
Chief.
Ring chasing.
Chief, yeah, baby.
The original ring chaser.
Well, I played a long time.
There you go. It's Kiefer Madness.
There you go. Bulls.
A local Kiefer Madness.
That was. Local flavor today. Appreciate that.
What a time. Ranch hands. Where?
Ranch hands.
We got any
ranch hands?
Ranch hands. No, we got any ranch hands out there? I want to hear from you.
617 in the chat.
779-7937. What do you do most day? If you're a ranch hand.
Yeah.
What are you doing most of the time?
It's going to be hay work.
I mean, you know, you get a Emerald Square Rodeo.
Right.
Maybe they'll call you in, but what are you typically up to?
I think you're probably breaking in horses.
Those aren't horses. Those are literally bulls, and oh my God.
You're breaking horses. Yeah, that's true. Hay work, as you said.
Those are literally bulls. Craig Hodges!
A lot of manure pickup. Just
endless manure pickup is what that is.
Mostly, yeah.
Okay. So that's Kiefer Madness each and every day. I'm sorry, each and every week at this time, Tuesday at 12:45.
Sure.
We may have a Terp check-in from Celtics Media Day.
This Media Day is all day long, apparently.
They won't stop.
There's a lot to talk about.
Can't stop, won't stop. Not to reference that individual. But we'll get to Monday Night Football, our takeaways. We'll get to the grab bag coming up later on next hour. That's all next on Jones and Keefe.